Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go. And what a show today on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're about to talk to the newest member of the M Club Hall of Fame. We've got head football coach Will Hall. We've got former great quarterback Lee Roberts. This is a very, very good day, other than the fact, Dima, that Kelly's back.
Yeah, that I walked in and it was just his shirt, just disappointing. Just disappointing.
Yeah. Really ugly Cyclone football shirt. And later in the show, last segment, we'll be talking to Kelly about welching out on eating the fried butter on the show. No, don't say a word. You'll have your chance to make your case at the end of the show.
Good, because my attorney's not here yet. So
yes, and I just want you to know we had that segment blocked out, and we didn't have a guest to fill that segment when we got the last-minute cancellation. And then come to find out that you explained to us you ate chili dogs all week. I don't quite understand it.
I ate just about everything, and it's going to take me a little while to recover, believe me.
Really? So much for that girl-like figure, huh?
Well, Mama Cass, Elliot, there we go. Going back a few years.
You know who that is, Dima?
I do not.
Okay, there we go. Mamas and the Papas, Dima? Ring a
no,
bell?
No, I don't know.
Okay, yeah. How about you, Luke Johnson, newest member of the M Club Hall of Fame? Ever heard of the Mamas and the Papas?
Well, I mean, it's I feel like I'm back home with you guys. We're talking about random music acts from the 60s or the 50s.
Hey, Ish Kabibble went back to the 40s,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Luke Johnson, I want to say congratulations to you. Well-deserved M Club Hall of Fame. Only football player in this class. And obviously, Luke, very close friends of Kelly and I. And, dude, we couldn't be happier for you. Well-deserved.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. It's an honor. I got a call a few weeks back, and they told me that I was going to be inducted. And, you know, it's when you grow up a Southern Miss fan, and when you know, from the time that you're born, I think I was probably in the Rock when I was 6 months old. I was born in the spring, so Dad took me to a football game that fall. And you grow up, and, you know, you just become a junior Eagle. And I've told you guys this before, but, you know, from the time I was 7 to when I graduated from West Jones, my original Junior Eagle Club shirt, which I got when Jim Taylor was a junior at Southern Miss.
Wow.
From 1990 until 2001, I used it, and after every football game, I took it with me to football games. And I got basically every good player from Southern Miss during that time period to sign it. And so it was kind of, you know, my relic as a Southern Miss fan. So growing up, you know, in all that and then getting to play and then now, you know, being included with some of those names that I cheered for as a kid, man, it's a dream come true to be included.
When people win awards of this nature, Luke, one of the consistent pieces of feedback they give is what I'm most honored about is it was voted upon by my peers. This isn't anything that, you know, that my family, you know, pushed for or whatever. This was people, like, say, your contemporaries. What does it mean to you that other people across wide spectrums in our society thought you were deserving of this?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it comes from former student athletes and people that know what it's like to put on the jersey and grind through the practice and the off season and then play in the games. I mean, that's what's really great about the M Club is that everybody that's a part of it in their own sport has really been through, you know, the same thing, whether it's mental or physical. And, you know, to add to that, just kind of the outpouring since the announcement yesterday through social media, through text messages, but there's people that are all a part of this. For instance, on Facebook, I had tons of my former teammates. You know, John Eubanks commented. Darren McCaleb texted me. Sean Nelson, who was an MVP of one of the bowl games we played in, he congratulated me. But, like, this a little bit, not just teammates. Tracy Robinson, who was in charge of all of our, you know, academics.
Right.
The only reason we were eligible to play, she congratulates me. Robert Burton, who was a manager for the entire time I was there and who got me footballs before every practice to warm up and kick. So whenever there's something like this, and anybody that's going in the M Club this year or in the Hall of Fame or has been inducted, they will say the same thing. There's so many people that are part of this process that help you get to where you did at Southern Miss and, you know, should be commended for what they did to pour into you as a student-athlete.
You know, we were talking yesterday, and Mr. Bob was talking about how you would explain to us why the punter was the most important position on the football field.
Let's hear it.
Well, first off,
this I gotta hear.
Somebody sent me a text last night and said punters are people too, and I said, there we go. Number one, the punter is a unique position because he's the only position that you don't want to see play. There's no other position on the field that is true for that, correct? That's what makes the punter unique.
Right.
A lot of that I said, deem a tongue in cheek, but if I'm watching football games with somebody, I will say it's the most interesting play in the football game. I say that when I played for Jeff Bauer, he had a saying that offense sells tickets, defense wins games, special teams wins championships. And one thing that was hammered in us was there are no second downs in the kicking game. And it's been proven that if you get a punt blocked, you lose a great majority of the time. You lose the football game. And so, you know, for our what we did, especially when I played with a really, really good defense, I knew that if we controlled field position that we were going to have a great opportunity to win. And by the way, especially on that 2003 squad, my first year to start, 9 of the 10 guys that blocked for me went to the NFL.
Hmm.
Wow. And it was one of those things that Coach Bauer emphasized the kicking game, particularly the punt game.
Now, Luke, you talked about getting the football games prior, or the footballs themselves prior to the games. Did you deflate any, like Tom Brady? Did you do?
You just couldn't resist that, could you?
The worst feeling in the world is when you go out there to kick off and they hand you basically a brand new game ball and it won't give on either end, and it's, you know, they've roughed it up a little bit, but it's nothing like your practice balls, and you just say, oh, no, here we go. But, yeah, there was absolutely none of that. We couldn't sand the footballs down. We couldn't sub the footballs in. Whatever Dustin Allman used on third down, there was a good chance this is what we were going to punt on fourth down.
Hmm. You know, another comment we made yesterday when it became official, we've been kind of sitting on this, but it became official, was that no one now will ever remember the name Ray Guy.
False.
Luke, are you
fake
there?
Fake news. Misinformation.
Fake news.
If you look at the press release that our good friends released, the statement I think that SouthernMiss.com said is, you know, that Luke Johnson is inarguably the best punter at Southern Miss whose name is not Guy. So there is a clear distinction between the two.
As the former president would say, wrong.
really, this is about Luke, but Ray Guy was just unbelievable,
wasn't he, as
an athlete. I mean,
but you know, Luke Johnson, now, I watched you play. Of course, I didn't know you then, but you know the play I'm always going to remember you for more than any other. Do you remember when we were playing Cal and we drove down the field late in the game to kick a field goal that would have given Southern Miss the lead late in the game? Cal blocked the field goal and you chased the defensive back, what, 100 yards down the field? I mean, I thought your effort was tremendous.
It was a – I'll just correct you a little bit. It was a PAT. It was the tie of the game.
Okay, all right.
And yeah, it got blocked, and I ran as hard and fast as I could for about 60 to 70 yards. And, it was that was a notable event. But what a night that was, Aaron Rodgers, Marshawn Lynch, in the Rocks.
What a great night that was, no question.
So, obviously, he hadn't had his training at D1 and DBAT yet. Where
he'd have caught that guy. I don't think that's right. Hey, buddy, you know that all of us here on the show, you know how we feel about you. And I say it sincerely, we're really happy for you. And it couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
I'm honored and I'm privileged just to play for Southern Miss, but to be included in this is a childhood dream. And so anyway, thanks for the time today, guys, and everybody that's been a part of it.
But and real quick, remind everybody, Luke will be joining us every Tuesday once football season, probably the week before the opening game, and he'll be doing some football analysis for us every week. Looking forward to it, man. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
Luke Johnson, everybody, newest member of the M Club Hall of Fame.
Great ambassador for the university, too.
No doubt about that. All right, up next, head football coach Will Hall on the Eagle Hour. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the show. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. This segment by Campus Bookmart right there on Hardy Street. And, of course, we're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studio. We just can't thank our sponsors enough for all they do. I want to congratulate again Luke Johnson, our very close friend, being selected to the M Club Hall of Fame. Only football player in the class this year. Speaking of football, who better to talk to when it comes to football than the head football coach Will Hall back on the Eagle Hour? And Coach, Dima and I talking yesterday. First of all, I know you'll agree, Dima has done a jam-up job covering practice for the Eagle Hour this year, Coach.
He really has. You know, like I say, I really like Dima, man. He really loves Southern Miss. He's good with people, good with our players. And I just appreciate you guys always coming. And so y'all can report to our fans kind of what's going on and give them some information, because I know they're really hungry for that. And so it's been a good deal.
I got to tell you real quick, Kelly screwed up one of our podcasts this week, but that happened to be the day that I got to talk to your two new offensive line transfers from South Owl and Eastern Michigan. And what articulate young men, and what a delight it was to meet those kids, Coach.
Yeah, they really are, man. Two really good kids that have become us really quickly, and they're good players too. Dante's an extremely talented young man and has been one of the best players in the Sun Belt, you know, the last 2 years. And then Zach is just a great kid from a great family who had a really good career at Eastern Michigan. And, you know, we've recruited so many really good young old linemen over the last three recruiting classes, and we felt like we needed some older guys in the room, guys that had played, just to give those young guys, you know, some examples of what it looks like to play and play at a high level as they continue to develop. And Zach and Dante have done a great job of doing that.
Coach, what is it about offensive linemen that they tend to make the best transition when it comes, like, to the pro game, winning percentages and things like that? It always seems that guys that have had an O-line background seem to do better. And I've heard that the offensive linemen, pound for pound, no pun, and, you know, intended or whatever, are the smartest guys on the field. So, and if so, why?
Well, you know, my dad has always said that heaven's going to be full of offensive linemen, you know, because think about it. They give of themselves every day for the betterment of the team, and so somebody else can do something great and get all the credit for it. And they really do have to play as one. We talk all the time that we can't be five pennies. We have to be one nickel. And that's the kind of that mentality in that room. And I think, you know, when you're in a position that you have to live your life that way in order to be successful, that probably filters all the way through your body and the way you treat people and all those things. But they are, man. I love them. And we've worked extremely hard here to build that position back, and it just takes time at the group of five level. You have to recruit it, you have to develop it. Think about it. When you're a kid, nobody ever says, hey, let's go out here on the playground. I want you to get a wide base. I want you to keep your heels in the ground and not get on your toes. And I want you to find everybody you can find with a wide base, heels in the ground. I want you to move them against their will wherever you want to take them. All right? Like nobody does that. So, like, you have to train that. And, you know, the gap from a high school offense to a college offense is extremely, extremely large for most transitions. And I really like what we've recruited. I like how we develop. And I think we're finally going to start seeing some really good O-line play this year.
Obviously, you have that big scrimmage on Saturday. I was just curious, next week, fall camp ends on Tuesday. When do you start, you know, working towards Kentucky? You know, we're only, 16 days away, which is crazy. But when does that start happening? Do you do 50-50 next week, then a full game week the next?
Yeah, so we'll start on Monday. Monday will be – we'll work a few situations just in helmets, special situations, and we'll start scouting and doing our scouts and doing Kentucky. And then Tuesday and Thursday of next week, we will go Demo, what I call 50-50, and you just said it, where we'll go 50% good on good and 50% Kentucky. But we'll start next week preparing for that game along and still trying to keep our blades sharp.
Have you looked at the Wildcats at all?
Yeah. We've looked at them a lot. Yeah, we broke in the summer. We usually break down our first three opponents in their entirety. So yeah, we've looked at them a lot in all three phases.
All right, Coach. Big scrimmage, as Dima just pointed out, Saturday. When that scrimmage ends Saturday morning, and you go back to your office, what do you want to have seen, and what answers do you want to have maybe formulated after watching these guys go at each other Saturday morning?
Well, you know, our team is kind of made up of kind of two different segments. We've got so much returning production and so many trusted friends and known agents on this team that I think we know what we've got in a lot of spots. So the other part of the team is a bunch of really talented guys that just got here in the summer that are either transfers from the SEC or they're really highly recruited high school players or junior college players. And so just trying to continue to get them comfortable with how we do things schematically. And so the big thing I want to see is continue to those known agents to come out healthy. And then those other guys, I want to see them take a step forward with, you know, how they're executing our schemes and what they're doing. I like this football team, though. I really do. I like where we're at. I like all three phases, and I enjoy coming to work every day and being with them.
And next Tuesday, Coach, or thereabout, you stand ready to name your QB1 at that point?
I'm gonna give y'all a depth chart next week at some point. Okay. I'm going to, and it'll be earlier rather than later. Probably not gonna be on Monday. We don't start school till Wednesday. We'll put a depth chart out next week.
You want us to go ahead and book you for what day next week, Coach?
Actually, he's going to speak. He's going to speak at the Club One next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I get the honor to be able to be there for that. So,
Coach, yep. What yep. At this point in the year, what is the biggest difference in your squad when you go back to this point last year? What is the biggest area of improvement you see, Coach?
Oh, man. You know, Bob, taking over this program and building it back has been a quest. You know, it's almost been a crusade, if you will. And we've just the recruit, just the amount of talent we have, the depth, the amount of known players, known agents that we know what they can do, coupled with the talent we've got in pushing them. I mean, we've got some SEC transfers that are running third and 14 right now. You know, I mean, like, we just got a lot of good players, and we're able to practice so much better. It's been great having Coach Bignell and Coach Long here, and transitioning to me just being the head coach has been such a great deal. And there's just a lot of comfortability, really, compared to what it's been. You always felt like in our first 3 years here, we were just fighting against the stream, trying to get your head back above water because we were so shorthanded in so many ways. Now I feel like our foundation's laid. We've recruited well. We've got players. I feel like everything's in place. And I like this team. Like I told you, I think we're going to be very, very competitive in the Sun Belt. I think week in, week out, we're going to put a good squad out there. And I like our chances.
Well, when you look back at last year, you're kind of talking about it. Do you think, when you look across your team, and you can maybe specifically quarterback, do you think this battle is closer than it has been in years past? And do you think that across your board, all of these position battles might be the most position battles just because of that depth of talent?
Yeah, so just specifically with quarterback, the thing that makes this battle different than all the other ones is these. We got two kids that have played and played really well and played winning football. You know, like, I mean, Tate Rodemaker beat Florida and Louisville. You know, and I mean, Ethan Crawford beat Louisiana at their place, beat Monroe, and if he doesn't get hurt, probably beats Mississippi State.
Yep.
You know, so that's what makes that different. Their talent, their ability, and the fact that they've played. And you know it's real. And then John White, guys, I'm telling you, that kid is special now. I mean, he's going to be something else. As far as across the board, yeah, we've got more depth, we've got more talent, and you're going to see that in the special team. That's where that's going to show up the most, is in the special teams, the ability to play good players. I remember our first year here when we got a punt block against Middle Tennessee and cutting the film on, I think we had 7 walk-ons on the field in that particular punt rep. They got the punt block, you know, and kids were doing the best they could. They just couldn't block the man in front of them, you know. And that's not the case anymore. You know, we got good football players.
And how are we holding up physically?
Oh, good. Okay. We've been healthy, man, and thank the good Lord for that. You know, hopefully we'll remain that way. And it's been good.
Hey, Coach, real quick, first of all, thank you for being on the show each week. We sure enjoy our conversation. Keep an eye on Zach Conte, because one thing he revealed to me when I met him this week is he just can't get enough of this good Southern food, and he said it was the best food he had ever found in his life. So watch him. He'd be good. Could put on a few LPs if you're not careful, Coach.
No doubt, man. Good to talk to y'all. Hey, excited for Luke Johnson, man. There's not a finer human being in the world, and nobody honors punters better than the University of Southern Mississippi, baby.
You got it. Coach, we'll see you Saturday morning.
See you guys.
Coach Will Hall, everybody.
Zach Conte looks like he's a food connoisseur, too, doesn't he?
He's a big guy.
Yeah.
He's a pretty big guy. Speaking of quarterbacks, Lee Roberts is next.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, our thanks to 4th Street Bar and Grill. They brought us that segment with head football coach Will Hall. We look forward to having him back on the show, hopefully again next week. This segment of the program is sponsored by our good friends at DBAT and on Hardy Street, where you take your children for baseball and softball training. So I want to thank Dickie's, Campus Bookmart, 4th Street Bar and Grill, DBAT. Also want to remind you about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it anytime you like on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour, or Siri as well. All right, Lee Roberts, another great friend. This is like old friend day on the Eagle Hour with Luke Johnson and Lee Roberts, and Lee will be joining us every Monday starting in September, following the weekly appearance from Will Hall. We'll have Lee Roberts every Monday. You'll never get better analysis of the football games than that. Lee, it's that time of the year. As a guy that played quarterback at an extremely high level, what do you think is going on in the minds of these two kids that seem to be battling it out to see who's going to be the starter?
Well, you got to think. I mean, obviously, Tate Rodemaker, he's a guy that transferred from Florida State, who had a little bit of experience there. Ethan Crawford, a guy that kind of finished the year here at Southern Miss playing. So both of them know what it takes to play, but both of them want to play. But both of them also want whatever's best for this team. And, you know, so I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, whoever Coach Hall names, whether it be Rodemaker or Crawford, who will know until maybe next week or week after. But I know as a fan, as a former player, I'm really excited just because of the makeup of this quarterback room. You know, if we talk about last couple of years, I mean, it's been a struggle at quarterback. You know, but this year I think we have two guys that have proven themselves on a high level and two guys that want this job and battling it down to the wire. So I think it's a intense competition each and every day, each and every week at practice. Who can get in there and learn the most and do the most and show the team that they can be the leader of this team. And, man, I'm excited. So I'm excited for Coach Hall and this team and, you know, that they have two really good options. And really behind them, obviously, John White, the freshman, but I think it really is going to come down to Rodemaker and Crawford.
And let me ask you this. I asked Reggie Collier this question Monday. Statistically, both of these kids in the scrimmage have been almost identical statistically. So what, as a coach, what are you looking for that separates the guys, who your starter is, who your backup is, if statistically they've played pretty even?
You know, I mean, and that's what you want. I mean, you want somebody that is going to compete and they're going to do similar things. I mean, that's what will make it tough on Coach Hall, naming the starter. Obviously, if you go into camp and you got one guy that is, you know, heads and shoulders above the other, then you know who your starter will be, but then you kind of have a drop off at the backup position. That's not the case here because both these guys are doing extremely well, having a great fall camp, and you know, and both are really trying to earn that job. They're trying to earn the respect of their teammates. They're really trying to put in the extra work and learn the offense. And it's just going to come down to the intangibles. Who's going to be able to, really drive this train when their name is called? And you know, if Coach Hall calls on one and that's not him, the other guy's waiting in return. But you got to think the name that is called on that Saturday versus Kentucky will be the guy that this team will look forward to all year long. And hopefully that will be the case.
I'm under the impression that it's going to be Rodemaker, the starting quarterback, and they're going to still use Ethan in certain packages. What are your thoughts on a two-quarterback system like the one I just laid out?
You know, it seems like you kind of see that more and more, you know, these days. When I was playing, we did a little bit. I was kind of the guy, and then we had a guy that would come in on short yardage situations as well. And it makes both of you ready at all times. And, you know, if that's how Coach Hall goes, I mean, if he uses Crawford in different situations, then what he's trying to do is put the best 11 guys on the field. And, you know, both of them are going to know their role. I mean, they're going to have to know that. They've got to adjust to it and accept it as well. And, you know, so if that's the route that Coach Hall takes, then so be it. You got to trust the head man in making those calls.
Would you be surprised, Lee Roberts, if you saw Ethan Crawford play something other than quarterback?
Well, to be honest, when we used Ethan a lot last year, what did he do? He really came in and ran the football, and that was what he did so well and really a spark to our team late in the year. But what you've seen this year is a guy that can really throw the football. And if you really go back to his high school days, a really live arm, a guy that's in the pocket that can do a lot of great things, but he can scramble, he can move, and you know, you'd have to call him an athlete if that's what they end up using him for. But both, you know, opponents are going to have to prepare for two different styles of play in Rodemaker and Crawford if they expect both kids to be on the field at some point.
Yeah, because I would not be surprised to see him in the slot every once in a while, you know, Crawford in the slot. And when you talk to all of the other Sun Belt head coaches, as Dima and I have, they don't even hesitate saying that they don't think Southern Miss will use one quarterback exclusively. They've all said that. They said, man, we think that they might even get equal reps, you know, as time goes on, provided everybody stays healthy. Is that a stretch?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, again, it kind of goes back to how both of these guys have fought in camp already.
Yeah.
You know, now if one really steps up over the other, then it may be a different scenario. But I think both have proven themselves that they can be the leader of this team. And again, it's a really good situation that you have two different guys that can do that. And again, if I'm in Coach Hall's shoes, that may be the route I take as well, having both guys ready at all times. And it makes you prepare like the starter as well. So sitting in meeting rooms all week and learning the game plan and preparing two different guys to start, that's a pretty good thing, I think.
How much of an edge do you think it is that Rodemaker has probably more experience than Crawford does? Obviously, Crawford has that experience from last season. He was still a freshman. He burnt that red shirt going to play Mississippi State. But Rodemaker, the age, the veteran presence, it seems to be somewhat of maybe even a bigger separator than even what we think.
I mean, it definitely could be. I mean, obviously, you're looking at Rodemaker, who has that, you know, extra year under his belt, a guy that played in the Power Five at Florida State. So yeah, that brings some experience indeed. But I think that might give a little bit of an edge. But again, I don't think Coach Hall's looking at, hey, where this guy came from. He wants to see who's going to produce on the field, and we were able to see that last year with Crawford as well. And you know, Crawford, he knows the black and gold. He knows what Coach Hall is all about. He was very productive in the last few games of the season for Southern Miss as well. And but if Rodemaker comes in and he's that guy, then you know we'll rally the troops behind him.
Mark it down. Who's it going to be?
You know, I really can't even think. I mean, because as we've talked so much about these two guys, you know, yes, I'd like to see a guy like Tate Rodemaker that, yeah, brings that Power Five experience, brings it to the table. But then you've got a guy like Ethan Crawford that he's a returner. This team knows this guy. The coaching staff knows this guy. Even though we have a new coordinator, he just knows the layout of this land. Honestly, I'd be fine with either one.
You know, the headlines, the quarterback position always seems to get the headlines. But one department that really hasn't gotten a lot of airtime, Lee, that I think needs to get the airtime is the depth, particularly the quality depth at the running back position. And, you know, Dreek Clark leading the way, man, the running back position, they're stout, solid group.
No, it really is. And, again, you basically bring back the whole room outside of Frank Gore, and that's a big plus. But, hey, a lot of shoes have to be filled. Some big shoes have to be filled when you lose somebody like Frank Gore, because he not only ran the ball but did a lot of great things. But Dreek Clark is there. Kenyon Clay is there. J.Q. Gray, another guy that's going to get some opportunity. Chandler Pittman, and obviously a returning guy as well. So a lot of different guys in that running back room. You got to love that too.
Hey, Lee, in the previous interview we had with Coach Hall, he mentioned John White and said how special John White is. I look back at the legacy of quarterbacks that this university has produced. Reggie Collier, Brett Favre, Nick Mullins, Austin Davis, obviously you. Does John White have the raw talent to be that next really great quarterback in Southern Miss history, you think, down the road?
I think he really does. I mean, you look at where he came from, obviously played at MRA. And, you know, people can look at a private school in Mississippi and say, hey, maybe not the same caliber of competition. But he came from a school that did really, 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 really well. They took Oak Grove to the wire. Not completing a pass for a two-point conversion to beat Oak Grove, the 6A state champions last year. And so he's a guy that does a lot of great things. It's not only his arm, it's not only his legs, but it's what's between his ears, I think, that will make him a great player. And, again, if he can work like I know he can be a big-time player for Southern Miss in the future as well. And, yeah, he can continue that quarterback legacy here.
And, you know, I just named the five greatest quarterbacks of all time at Southern Miss, right?
Oh, is that what that was? Well, I appreciate that.
That's what that was.
And
you're part of that group, my man. Hey, we look forward to having you on the show every week, and we'll be doing that once football season gets underway, Lee. Thanks a lot, man.
Hey, appreciate you guys.
All right, Lee Roberts, everybody. I don't think there's any argument about that. You, Kelly, one of the top five of all time.
He certainly would be. But, you know, if you talk to several people, you'd get some other great responses. Southern Miss has had some great quarterbacks
over the
years.
They really have. But not many have won more conference championships than the guy that just got off the phone with us. That's for sure.
And you didn't even mention Nick Mullins.
No, he did.
Oh, he did. Okay.
All right, when we come back, we're holding Sander to task for letting us down at the Iowa State Fair. Don't miss this.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Well, thank Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, Mo Bay Beignet Company, where we love those beignets. They should invite us back down for a remote, by the way, Kelly. And Town & Country Cleaners since 1983, right there on Hardy Street, doing the best dry cleaning in town. What a show, man. I want to thank Luke Johnson. Really happy for Luke getting in the M Club Hall of Fame. Coach Will Hall, who is now making kind of weekly appearances with us, and we really enjoy that. And, of course, the great Lee Roberts. Can't get much better than that. Patrick McGee's on the show tomorrow. That'll be good. The Saints won their opener, and Melissa Socher, Kelly, will be on the show with us as well.
And, you know, the Saints, there's some news breaking out of there because the Vikings apparently are interested in Derek Carr and potentially maybe
–
I kid you not, and I know you're going to flip when I tell you this, Dan.
Well, he says Spencer Rattler's QB1. I'm walking.
No, I'm telling you, they said that Spencer Rattler is tearing it up.
He's leaving. He's leaving.
I'm just telling you that's what they're saying, that Spencer Rattler is having a great camp, and I don't know that it's going to happen, but the Vikings.
I'm leaving the studio if Patrick McGee reports that tomorrow.
Well, we'll get the very latest from Saints camp tomorrow.
All right. Now, speaking of disappointment. I was really disappointed. Dima, you hadn't joined the show when we had the much ballyhooed beignet eating contest at Mo Bay Beignet.
Mm-hmm.
I was very disappointed in Kelly's performance. I would have thought he would have represented himself better. Maybe my second biggest disappointment, show-related, there are a lot of personal disappointments from Kelly, but show-related was that we promoted, as you recall, and we set out a segment last Friday. We promoted it all week long. That Kelly was going to come on from the Iowa State Fair and eat a stick of fried butter. And what was it, maybe Thursday night he bails on us?
I think it was Friday morning.
Was it Friday morning? Left us without a guest, left us hanging. Where the hell were you?
Well, I was at the Iowa State Fair, but I had had a couple of the chili dogs that didn't sit particularly well with me.
God, let's not get into too much detail.
I'm glad we didn't ask his sister to record that.
But see, the fried butter stick, what they do is they take the stick of butter, of course, put it on a stick, right? They have a stick.
I don't like these hand motions.
All right, then
they call it a fried butter stick.
Yeah, well, but there's a butter stick, but then it's on a stick.
Okay. All right. Don't confuse me.
Then they dip the butter stick into like a milk type substance, and then they roll it in a flour that has cinnamon and sugar in it. Okay. Mm. So they coat it with that really good, and then put it down, you know, into the grease. Well, the butter, you know, kind of melts, and so when you get done with this thing, it's just nothing really but a big gooey cinnamon roll type.
Mm-hmm. Did you eat one?
Type of thing. They're just too rich. I mean,
Is that why you welched? If there was nothing else at this fair you couldn't have eaten on the air.
You saw the pictures I sent you guys.
I'm not talking about pictures. I'm talking about coming on the radio show like you promised.
Would you believe that I was talking to Lauren Daigle? the singer songwriter
talking about him.
Who was the performer?
A Democrat. He just won't answer
at the Iowa State.
Yeah, I feel like I'm sitting next to Kamala Harris.
Yeah,
here.
Running from the press.
Hey, what shirt are you wearing? So on my fourth date, I went to Drago's when I was 13. What does that have to do with what shirt you're wearing?
Yeah, yeah. What about
Bidenomics is working. That's what you guys
beat. We beat Medicare.
That's what you're
all
supposed.
All right, so you dumped us. We're kind of used to that, but. What was the best thing you ate at the Iowa State Fair all week?
And I kind of joked with you about it earlier, but there were hot dogs, and they drilled out the middle of the hot dogs and put dill pickle spears in there.
That sounds pretty good.
That does sound pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. It was.
Was it really hot?
No. The pickles were just your average, you know, run of the mill dill pickles. But I thought those were pretty good. Nothing there was nutritious, you know.
Well, in addition to not doing the show last year, you brought me some Iowa corn back. I assume it's what you leave it in your car. Kind of hot.
That's right. I didn't bring you any corn this year, Bob. I'm so sorry.
What a shocker!
You know. Oh, excuse me. Speaking of those chili dogs.
But this show has derailed. We started off with an all-star cast, all-star guest.
We're talking about gas from chili.
But let me tell you. Can I tell you about a quick drinking game?
You have a minute left.
Okay. Here's the way you play.
Is this going to violate any FCC regulation?
Here's the way I play. It gets a little Crown Royal and Sprite on the rocks. That's what I need to play. Well, the game is called Leave Me the Hell Alone.
You have 45 seconds.
Okay. So for me to play Leave Me the Hell Alone, I get my Crown Royal, my Sprite, and my ice. That's what I need. And what you guys need to play the game is to leave me the hell alone.
Open Phone America tomorrow to tell them all about it.
Yes. That's what you guys need to play.
Let Kelly hear it tomorrow on Fan Friday.
Please, fans, call us tomorrow and let us know what you think about Kelly welching out the morning of the show.
You know, about 100...
The morning of the show.
130,000 people a day they're averaging at the Iowa State Fair.
You don't want to talk about the show.
Yeah, he's a Democrat.
And Miss Angela wants to go now.
She does. She definitely wants me to take her to the Iowa. We saw it on Fox this morning because you didn't come on and report about it, so we had to watch Fox TV to find out about it. And she was really excited about it. It did seriously look like a great time.
Yeah, and the weather, it never got any warmer than 77 degrees. It was like 68 to 70.
You're officially on probation because of last Friday.
It won't be the first time. Does this require an ankle bracelet too?
Maybe.
Remember, Bob, leave me the...
Yeah, I'm going to discuss the ankle bracelet with Michael Murgis when I get off the air. All right, we'll be back with Kelly tomorrow at 1 o'clock and Patrick McGee. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.